The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Pandemic 2020, an AM 970 The Answer special report with your host, Joe Piscopo. Brought to you by Balance of Nature, helping your body heal itself.
This week, it's going to get bad.
Well, we've never had a threat like this, and the coordinated response has been, there are a number of adjectives to describe it. Impressive, I think, is one of them.
Stay on top of this fast-breaking story. What's going on with work, travel, medical, food, real estate, exercise. Get the latest breaking news right here with your host, Joe Piscopo.
Hey, it's Joe on the radio. This is Pandemic 2020, and we've been doing this now ever since this whole thing started. You can call and you can ask Dr. Shannon Sabandel, a board-certified ER doctor, author of the book Fragile. Fragile is the name of the book. Any question that you have, 877-970-2999, 877-970-2999. You're more than welcome to call and ask, because I know, look, you're worried about a lot of things, and you deserve to be worried about this. Your anxieties, what you're feeling, what's going on, the different rules, the different laws we're supposed to follow. You can call 877-970-2999. Dr. Sabandel, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us, and we appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, so where are we? Do you see the curve? Flattening the curve, if I hear that one more time, Doc, right? But we are indeed flattening this curve. Are you positive that we're at least light at the end of the tunnel, sir?
I mean, I'm quite hopeful. I think that we've been in a stressful situation for quite some time. We've been talking about the curve ad nauseum. And finally, we are seeing some flattening of that curve, which hopefully is light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I'm hoping.
And it looks like it. So is it because of the way we're social distancing? I mean, that's really working. And because you know what, Doc, I hear about these drugs all the time, about the hydroxychloroquine, right? And I hear about, now you hear about Redemsifier. We've been talking about it for weeks on this show. I mean, if you have symptoms, is it best to take these drugs prophylactically? Are they safe enough to do that now?
So I think from the medical standpoint, and what you were talking about earlier, and having doctors, you know, being concerned about giving drugs that don't have a trial or we don't know their efficacy. The problem is that with any drug, there's a side effect, right? And that's just, nothing's for free. So whatever medicine we give, there's some side effect or there's some downside. So you always want to make sure that the upside is bigger than the downside. And I think for me, when we're looking at this pandemic and we're looking at people who are sick, I think that those drug trials and what we're looking at early on are really effective when you're having patients that are quite ill and you're kind of at the end of your road on what to do, because you don't know the downside, right? So I'm going to try these last ditch efforts to do it as a general mass population. I mean, you have to be aware that, you know, there is side effects, and if you take them in mass, a lot of people will have side effects, meaning just the sheer number, because we're talking about volume here. So that's the concern, and that's what I think you have to be wary of when you talk about these new medicines.
Understood. Dr. Sabandel, 877-970-2999 if you have a question for the doc. But I'm such a hypochondriac, I could do 2 hours with you, Doc. So listen, we'll do 20 minutes, but we appreciate you staying with us, sir. You are an ER doctor. Let me thank you again for being on the front line. You're a warrior. You are one of our heroes in all of this. What has the last few months been like for you in your life on the front line, sir?
Well, I want to just also reiterate what you just said, that it's all the people that are working on the front line, the first responders, the law enforcement, the hospital administrators, the people who are cleaning the rooms in the hospital, right? It's everybody that's making that machine work, and we couldn't do it if we didn't have that whole team there. So that's, you know, I've been very impressed with people showing up. You know, they just come to work and they do their job. And, you know, it is scary. It's scary for providers and all these people working in the industry, because we're afraid we can catch it, right? And we have families at home that we can bring it home to, and we can get our little kids sick from it. And so all that stuff causes a burden of concern. And so I think that adds obviously to the stress. I certainly, when I get home, I go to bed early because I'm exhausted. And it's not just the workload. It's putting on your protective gear. It's worried about these things. It's everything else that goes along with it that just, you know, really tires you out.
Hey, Doc, so what do you do when you come home, man? It's like, and you're afraid to go, I'm a hypochondriac worried about the germs I got from the grocery store. I was whining about that earlier, having to wash all the groceries and everything. But you have to just take all the clothes, the shoes got to come off, into the shower. And it is exhausting. Do you walk in your house? Or, I mean, tell us what your ritual is when you get home from the ER.
Yeah, well, you don't have the quite welcome home from your wife that you would you would like.
Yeah.
She's like,
yeah,
you should be heading to the shower. But I think, you know, for me, when I show up at work, I do think that battle mentality, meaning I'm going to put my gear on, and I really leave my gear on for almost the whole day, meaning I'll hydrate and I'll eat and I'll do all those things later. And the reason for that is because the taking on and off of your gear is obviously the most risky moment. So, you know, I come to work, I put on my hospital clothes, attire, scrubs, all my protective equipment. And when I'm done with that shift, all that stuff stays at the hospital. I pump my hands about 10 times just to get from the hospital to my car. I pump once I get in my car to clean my hands. And then I drive home and I take all my clothes off and those go in the wash and I take a shower and then I'm ready to have my day.
God bless you, Doc. I'm telling you, we're feeling for you, and we are just in awe, you know, of what you're doing. God, because you're right. Well, you got the goggles. I'm going to move on. I want to talk about the getting a vaccine, but you got the goggles. You got to put the whole hood on. You have to be completely locked because you're seeing mostly coronavirus patients now. Yes.
Yeah, I think when you go to work, you know, the volume of patients. You know, you obviously in New York City are just the epicenter, right? So your hospitals are completely overwhelmed with just the volume of patients. You know, in other places like Colorado, you know, our volumes overall have gone down, but our volume of corona patients has gone up. So the number of patients that you're seeing with coronavirus is certainly, you know, high, and you're worried that every patient that you're seeing has coronavirus. That's why we wear our full protection because, you know, you just don't know. You don't know what that patient's bringing in.
Oh, God. Optimistic about the vaccine, Doc. Are you? Is there hope? They say a year and a half. What are you feeling about this possible vaccine?
I think there's hope. As I said at the beginning, I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we're not starting from scratch here, meaning the labs that have made vaccines before are already doing the work. They already have a plan in place. We already have the genome of the virus laid out. So all of those things are what you need in order to make a vaccine. The problem and the time frame for this is obviously you've got to be safe with it. You know, there's a lot of talk about vaccines. I believe strongly in vaccines. I think people should be vaccinated. But, you know, with the rigor and the science behind it to make sure it's safe, and that's part of what takes the time. You have to do, you know, small trials, bigger trials, and then you make sure it's safe and you put it out to the public.
Yeah, appreciate it. Dr. Savandal is with us, ER doctor. Joseph, our buddy from Jersey, is calling in. Joseph, you got a question for the good doctor, do you?
Yes, I do. You know, Doc, I'm a senior. I go out shopping all the time. I do all the precautions. But I was just thinking, if it gets in my hair, I got to wash my hair every day.
Good question. Does it? I thought the same thing. Joseph, thanks for calling, man. Dr. Savandal, so you wash it? It could be in your hair, yes?
So we really have to, again, this is the confusing part of this virus because we've heard a lot of different information about this being airborne, this not being airborne. So this virus is a droplet virus. That means it's big droplets of fluid that get the virus into your face or into your nose or mouth or eye, and that's really how you're going to get it. You get that from touching something and then touching your face. And so when we think about, well, do I have to worry about my hair? When people talk about it being in the air, if someone sneezes, there's these little, you know, particles floating around. That is an aerosolized particle that's floating now. It's not an airborne disease like tuberculosis. Tuberculosis will float in the air for days. This will ultimately settle down. And so when you go to the grocery store, if you're wearing a mask, if you wash your hands when you go to the store, when you leave the store, when you get home, you take that mask off and you do it right, then you should be protected. I'm not overly concerned that you're going to catch the virus from touching your hair at that point because you didn't rub your hair in the virus. You know, unless you went up to a sick person and, you know, noogie them with your hair or something, that, you know, you don't have enough viral particles there. The important thing is the biggest risk for everybody is how you manage that mask. And I know someone said this earlier, that you really need to keep the inside of your mask inside and the outside of your mask outside. And that's the key, is when you take this thing off, you need to keep it away from your face. You need to be very careful about how you grab it. You grab it from your ears or from the back straps, and you pull it away from your face, and you lay it down on its front. And that way, you're not getting any of those virus particles exposed to you.
Yeah, and you can wash the mask. Dr. McCoy was saying earlier, you can wash the mask. But also, like I do, sometimes you can spray it down with a Durasan or a Lysol. That's okay to spray it down. Will that kill, indeed, the germs on the mask, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a website you can go to that tells you all of the substances that will kill the virus. That's put out by the EPA. But, yeah, Lysol works for that. It definitely kills viruses.
Oh, it does. It does not kill viruses, or will it kill viruses? Lysol.
No, it will. It will.
Okay, that's great. And then, what about the violet, the ultraviolet light? We were talking about that on Friday. Does that work as well, Doc?
Yeah, many hospitals and fire department agencies that I work with, we have UV light devices in order to clean the masks. So you put that mask in there, and it definitely kills a particle. And just think about this. We know this from, the sun is UV light, right? And when we go outside, in the past, there were these studies that showed that you could, in Africa, take a bottle, a clear bottle of water, and lay it out in the sun for the day. And if it laid out in the sun for that whole day, it essentially killed all the bad things in that water. And that's just telling you that the sun does have this ionizing radiation that kills viruses. Viruses do not like the sun. So even being outside, kills virus particles.
Wait, this is great. Dr. Shannon Sabandal, kind enough, the board-certified ER doc. The book, by the way, from the doctor, you may want to check out, please, on Amazon. Fragile is the name of the book. Doc, this is wild. Because I saw some things during that the Spanish flu of 1917, 1918, that they found out it was better to put, rather than putting the patients within a closed quarters, they would actually literally put them outside. Maybe we should do that in our nursing homes nowadays?
Well, there's two things that we're talking about with that. The first is that the sun has ionizing radiation, right? So if you were to lay a mask or clothing outside, it's going to kill virus particles. The second piece of that is we are worried about the volume of virus particles that someone is getting, exposed to. And if you put someone outside in the open air, right, that is diffusing essentially the density of a virus particle. And so that's part of the reason why we have social distancing, obviously. And if you put someone outside and they were spread far apart, then, you're not going to be exposed to this virus particle because it's just too many few particles floating in this, floating in space.
Yeah, doctor, I know how busy you are. We so appreciate your valuable time and expertise, man. But I got to ask you, this antibody test. Now, New York is rolling out widespread antibody testing. How effective is that? And how important is that in terms of getting America back to work, sir?
I think most of us feel that the widespread testing is the answer here. As soon as we can get widespread testing, we can come up with a really good plan on how to open things up and know who is safe or not. But the couple barriers that we have is there's a lot of tests out there for antibodies, and some of them are good and some of them aren't, right? And so we need to be sure which ones we're using and how, sensitive and specific they are to the disease. The second piece is that some of those tests just tell you whether you've had coronavirus and not COVID-19 specifically. So that means if you had a cold last year, one of these tests could potentially be positive, even though it wasn't COVID-19. It was a different coronavirus. And so that causes a little confusion as well when we're trying to figure out how we move forward. But once we kind of have that data, once we know what we're dealing with and people have the plan in place based on the testing that we have, then, we can move forward with that.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Shannon Sabandal. James, you got a question. Thanks for calling. A question for the good doctor.
Yes, hi. I'd like to know, according to, I've been listening to the doctor talking with Mr. Piscopo.
Yeah.
And according to what the doctor was saying, we have, he was making a lot of sense on how the virus can be killed by us taking certain precautions. And all these precautions should be put into some sort of schooling or everyday instructive ways on the radio, the television, so on and so forth. And once we take all these precautions and the public is well-versed and acting accordingly, why can't we open the economy so we don't go into a depression and totally destroy ourselves so that Dr. Mengele, even so, would not be so happy up in hell.
No. James, thank you. You know what? The point is, how soon can we go back to work, Doc? What, we're taking so much precaution now. Is it enough to return to the workplace, do you think?
I think, you know, the first part of that question or statement was is that, you know, this is scary, obviously. A pandemic's scary, so everyone reacts accordingly because they're scared. So that swings us way over this pendulum of kind of being, you know, overly protective. What we need to do is be really thoughtful and mindful. We need to follow the science. We need to protect ourselves. And then we need to slowly integrate ourselves back into our normal, you know, economy. And that occurs over time. That's not something like we flick a switch and it turns on, right? We need to do this in a kind of a thought out pathway. And that involves a lot of testing. That involves, you know, periodic return testing as well, so that we're making sure that we're not missing anything. And really, we need to track down any new cases and figure out who they were exposed to. And that takes manpower and effort and planning. And it's, and you know, it's hard. It's hard, but that is the road to kind of redemption for us. And it's definitely the light at the end of the tunnel, meaning that is where we're heading.
We'll read your book, Fragile, Dr. Shannon Sovendel. Always appreciate it. But I got to ask you, though, the question that our producer put forth, because he's known to take, you know, to take a drink or two. Is that harmful? Is it harmful to drink too much alcohol as we're quarantined, sir?
So, you know, I've read that alcohol sales are through the roof during the quarantine. That's because, you know, we all have to stay at home with our loved ones for the whole day, I think. But, you know, having a drink or two does not, you know, that's fine. That's fine for your health to have a drink or two. We've seen health benefits from that. There's not a huge harm to doing that. I think what the problem becomes is if you are drinking in excess and you're recurrently drinking in excess, that does dampen your immune system the same way it kind of dampens you, right? You're kind of mellow and laid back once you've had a lot of drinks. And I think that that's the same thing that your immune system is doing as well. It's kind of not up for the fight. And so, you know, all of those things that kind of hinder your response, you know, I would stay away from. So a drink or two is not bad, but I would stay away from excessive drinking.
There it is. That's for Frankie Five Burrows, our producer. Tell us about the book Fragile real quick, Doc, before we go to traffic. Where can we find the book Fragile, and what could we learn from that, sir?
Yeah, Fragile is available on Amazon. Presently, pre-order. It's released on May 12th. Fragile is about life being fragile, and it's so appropriate in this time of the pandemic that, you know, everything we have can be gone in a moment, and we really need to appreciate that. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because it allows us to kind of live fully and live love, you know, our family and hope for the future. And that's because life is fragile, and this pandemic's really pointing that out to us right now. And it's crazy times that we're living in.
Dr. Shannon Sovendel, thanks for being the warrior that you are, sir. Thanks for stepping up. Join us again, Doc. Always great chatting with you, man. God bless, Godspeed, be careful, and thanks for taking the time with us this morning, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, thank you, sir. Dr. Shannon Sovendel right there. By the way, Pandemic 2020 has been sponsored by Balance in Nature, helping your body help itself. Great. So I could talk to the, you know, I'm such a hypochondriac. Debbie, I could talk to the doctor for like 2 hours. Let me question. I mean, it's so
great.
Much. And then they're on the line putting on the not only the mask, that whole hazmat outfit. I mean, and then having to work on patients. Oh, imagine doing 12-hour shifts like that. The warriors.
Amazing.
The warriors. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Sovendel, we appreciate that. Hey, 923, Debbie's out there looking out for you traffic-wise on AM 970, The Answer.
They are definitely our heroes, without a doubt. Good morning to you, Joe, and good morning to all of our essential workers out there on the roads. Watch for some problems here on Sunrise Highway westbound into Horse Block Road, getting out through Brookhaven. We're getting reports of a turkey over there, so be careful. He's wandering around over on Sunrise Highway. Over on the LIE eastbound at Bagatelle Road, that's a disabled vehicle to watch out for getting out toward Melville. Still a little bit busy on the eastbound BQE getting up and out toward the Battery Tunnel. Remember, alternate side parking rules suspended. Metered parking rules remain in effect. Some ongoing construction on the Merritt Parkway today between 44 and 42 Westport through Fairfield. We'll keep an eye on that. Also, some closures here in Newark because businesses are closed today till 3. Broad Street is closed between South and Raymond. Also, Marcus Street closed between Mulberry and Washington as well. And if you're going to be taking a ride to 80 West, exit 42, car fire being cleared. Partly cloudy today, high in the 50s. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Thank you, Debbie Duhaime Piscopo on the radio. Liz Klayman from Fox Business is standing by. Yay. I want to tell you quickly about Balance of Nature. You want to build up your immune system. You know what? The best defense against any virus is your own immune system. I've known this my whole life. But again, I'm not telling you what cures this, what will work, clinically. I'm telling you what works for me, what works for me. And don't forget, when I tell you, when you have something like cancer, like in 1981, they give me the cure rate in 91, but I'm a hypochondriac because they told me when I was 31 years old, Joe, you got cancer. I'm going, what? But the doctors told me all the way back then, and it was thyroid cancer, and they got it, quote unquote, got it. But you're always looking over your shoulder. And the doctors always told me back then, antioxidants. I said, what the heck is that? You have to have fruits. You have to have vegetables. Joe, that builds up your immune system. I've known this since way back then. Then Dr. Howard comes up with Balance of Nature. This, to me, is genius. And for me, it's miraculous that I don't have to stuff all the fruits and vegetables every single day, you know, into me, man. Because I never do at the end of the day. I know you do the same thing. How many fruits and vegetables did I have today? You never do it. You can do it with Balance of Nature. And when you take all these fruits and vegetables within your body, and a daily dose of Balance of Nature has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables, you build up your immune system. A scratchy throat, allergy, colds, you know, any virus. I'm telling you, again, I cannot make a clinical study claim. That's not what I'm doing here, but I'm telling you what works for me. Balance of Nature for me has been nothing short of miraculous. And now the Howards have this for you. Balance of Nature offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of Balance of Nature. Start your journey to a stronger immune system and overall better health. 800-246-8751. I love you. You're part of the family here on this radio show. And so I want you to feel better about yourself. I want you to build up your immune system. 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. Please remember the discount code, The Answer.
Relying on monitoring your credit to help protect your identity?
Here we are as an innocent zebra scans the sea of tall grass.
That's like being an unsuspecting animal at the watering hole.
The zebra doesn't spot the stealthy lion and his big white teeth.
With your personal information in so many places and data breaches on the rise, thieves could pounce on your information to steal your identity and feast on your hard-earned money.
The lion leaps. And it doesn't look good for the zebra.
That's why LifeLock monitors for use of your personal information, detecting a range of threats. If there's a problem, one of our U.S.-based specialists will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but with LifeLock, you don't have to be a sitting duck. Right now, save up to 25% off your first year when you go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's 25% off when you enter promo code SMART.
Today, we're all super conscious of cleanliness. Washing our hands for 20 seconds multiple times is good, but if your phone isn't clean, what's the point? Well, the most effective way to clean your phone is with Phone Soap. Phone Soap uses UVC light, a patented and clinically proven technology to kill 99.99% of germs like E. coli, salmonella, the cold and flu virus. In just 10 minutes or less, you can sanitize and charge your phone. Everybody I know wants one. Whether you're using your phone anywhere, you're collecting and storing germs. Phone Soap is used in hospitals and medical facilities, making it the easiest and most trusted way to clean your phone. It fits smartphones of all sizes and can sanitize remotes, money, whatever else fits inside. Phone Soap kills hundreds of germs and bacteria and the cold and flu virus. Now, demand for Phone Soap is at an all-time high. Go to phonesoap.com, use the promo code MikeG, get a spot on their pre-order list, and get free shipping. Phone Soap, the original patented and clinically proven UVC phone sanitizer. Go to phonesoap.com, use my name MikeG, phonesoap.com today.
Listen to AM 970, The Answer, and Alexa, tune in, iHeart, or radio.com. Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Hey, it's Joe on the radio, 928 on AM 970, The Answer. Liz Klayman, she is great. Anchor with the Fox Business Network, host of the Klayman Countdown, the go-to gal for everything in finance. Liz, it's so great to have you on the show. How you doing? How are you?
I'm in the absence of any proven elixir for this horrific coronavirus, ingested a huge number of half-off Cadbury mini eggs this weekend, those little chocolate things, and I'm feeling so much better.
That's great. Now, you're doing your show from home. Are you doing your show? I guess everybody at Fox is pretty much doing their shows from home, correct?
I wish you could see this. We took over what we affectionately called the sunroom, which no longer has sun in it because every window is covered. They brought in an 80-inch monitor so that it looks, Joe, like I'm sitting in a studio. Some dude named Joe from Long Island, who's amazing, he comes lumbering in with this massive thing. Doesn't care who I am, get out of my way. I need to get this thing down there. They put it in, and then they put in a whole system. I was so thrilled. I can't even tell you, because I've been operating out of a studio truck, which was equally as cool, but it's sitting in my front area, and we're doing landscaping, so the whole thing looks like off the set of Deliverance, and I needed to just get control of my world. So they set up the thing, and I'm really grateful to Fox for that. But it looks like I'm in the studio. You could see
We are grateful that you're on the air, Liz. I'm telling you, it's something we look for. We watch it, and get. Is there any hope for optimism getting through this? Give us your take on all of this, if you would, Liz Klayman. And when do we go back to work? Light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, light at the end of the tunnel is very faint at the moment, but it's there. And it will only come, Joe, in my opinion, when we have mass public health testing and a vaccine. And why do I say that? Because you have a lot of people very anxious to get back out there, to get their jobs back and to work.
But
what good will this 35 days now of being inside, what good will that have done if we let everybody out and one typhoid Mary or Louie is out there who happens to spread it once again? Would all of this have been for naught? And I just don't want to see that. So, I think that the sense is.
Wow. Just like that. Look at that. It's the Chinese. I blame the Chinese for cutting us off. Wait, we got it. You got her there in the studio. Hold on. No. Lost her.
Okay. You got me?
I got you now, Liz. It's the Chinese. I'm a conspiracist. The Chinese heard you saying something positive about America. They whacked us. I'll tell you, it's Huawei. They're on it now.
Yeah.
Oh no.
The short answer is there is hope always. My dad used to say, and he was a brilliant surgeon, where there's life, there's hope, and there's a lot of life here. A lot of life here. So.
I love it. So walk me through this, Liz, because we're confused about this PPP. I mean, and I research all this stuff. You go to SBA.gov, and I know a lot of people are being helped, but some of them, the money ran out, number one. Number two, some of the banks don't know what to do. And my concern is this, because a lot of our listeners are independent small business people. Like the gals that clean my house, they're absolutely great. This one single gal, she has a great business. She doesn't have full-time employees. So then the SBA is saying, well, you can't get a loan then. What kind of common sense is that? Shouldn't those be the first folks that we help out?
1,000%. Did you hear the news late last night about Shake Shack and Danny Meyer giving back the $10 million they had gotten almost immediately?
I love that.
The rest of the small businesses have been waiting and getting their applications questioned and rejected. He gave it back last night. I think a couple of things. They worked the system legally. It was a little confusing, and they said any restaurant that has fewer than 500 employees can get the money. Well, if you look at an individual Shake Shack that's sitting there at JFK and, in the United Terminal, of course there's five people there. But compounded, they immediately sucked up $10 million. Well, he looked at this and realized, wait a minute, this is very bad optics for us. We're able to tap the credit markets, so they gave back all $10 million. Can you imagine? That would fund 20 different businesses who needed $500,000
a piece.
So the whole thing, haste makes waste. We now know, Joe, that Congress is getting close to another tranche of the PPP, which would be in the aggregate about $500 billion. And in that, they would be giving, some money to hospitals, some money to testing. I think it's upside down. I think we now need to give a lot of money to testing so that the small businesses can actually get back to work.
Yeah, so it's great that you said that. Yeah, Al, our news guy, was telling us about Shake Shack giving the money back. We appreciate it. And also Harvard, Harvard receiving millions of dollars in bailout money. I mean, I don't know how so what's going to happen? This new plan, apparently they came up to with an agreement this morning. This new plan hopefully will be a little more objective as they distribute to the right people who really deserve it, yes?
Well, yeah, and you've got to understand, though, the more requirements they put in, the slower it takes to get the money out to people. However, this is our money, Joe. This is our taxpayer money. Do we really want it going to Harvard? That's a multi-billion-dollar endowment. No, we wanted it to go to your housekeeper. That's who we want it to go to. Not the people who have easy credit or a lot of money in the bank already. Even though they fit the parameters, a lot of hedge funds, Charlie Gasparino has been breaking the story, a lot of hedge funds that are making a lot of money, it violated the spirit of the law, not the law, not the money itself, and not the way the tranche was set up. But, you know, how is that okay? So we're looking at a lot of people who are desperate and hurting, and we've got to help those people first. But it does, Joe, and I don't know how you feel about this, it does bring up the concept of what is socialism. We're giving money to people to keep them alive.
Yeah, so true. And apparently, Liz, before we let you go, the short sellers are betting big today that the last week's gains will be reversed. What are the short sellers seeing?
They're seeing a couple of things. They're seeing hotels with no end in sight for when they can start welcoming people back. Travel and leisure, a disaster. The airline's a disaster. But it's more psychology, Joe, and I'll finish with this.
Yes.
What happens if we get the all clear? Are you going to feel comfortable sitting in a theater, a Broadway theater, a movie theater next to somebody who may be sniffling? Are you going to feel comfortable getting on a plane in a sealed tube? You can't force a horse to drink the water just because it's sitting there, you know?
How
original of me to bring that up, but that's what I think is the problem. You know, the market goes down today, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Liz Claman, anchor with the Fox Business Network, host of the Claman Countdown. It's 3 p.m. at 5. Hey, before we let you go, your 15-year-old doing a podcast now?
How do you know? Yeah. I said to him, he smack talks about football constantly. Meantime, he's a skinny little Jewish kid. And I said, all right, you should get out there, smack talk football. So he started his first little episode, you know, and I said, get out there. Everybody should listen to this and let him know, give him some thoughts and ideas. Yeah. And I'm going to get Marcus Allen on the phone and say, can you be a guest?
Yes, sure. This is great. Absolutely. This is great. Liz, I tell you, it's great.
Football finesse talk with Julian. Yeah,
I love it. 15 years old. We love our kids. Thanks for being a great mom. But thanks for always doing a great job on Fox Business. It's the Claman Countdown, weekdays, 3 p.m., Fox Business Network. We'll be watching, Liz, from your beautiful home. And thanks for taking the time this morning. Take care. Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you to you and your listeners.
Indeed. God bless. Thanks so much. Joshua Phillips standing by. Joshua's a great. He's got a video he put out that has over 10 million downloads. Editor of the Epoch Times. Joshua's going to join us live on the Piscopo Show. 9:37. Big Al standing by with the headline news just for you right here on AM970TheAnswer.com.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM970. The Answer.
51 degrees at 9:38. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. The Dow is down about 2% in early trading. The Dow down about 493 points in the early going. And with the coronavirus running through New York City, Broadway theaters not likely to reopen anytime soon, so a streaming service is about to bring the shows to fans instead. Broadway On Demand, a new streaming service, will launch in mid-May. The service, which will offer live streams and interactive platforms, will launch with a live concert series called 30 Days of Opening Nights. The streaming service will help raise money for actors, composers, playwrights, stagehands, and musicians who have been hurt by the shutdown. A fundraiser that will feature celebrities with ties to New Jersey, but not Joe Piscopo, is just 2 days away. Jersey for Jersey fundraiser will air on several local stations Wednesday night. The show is going to star Bruce Springsteen, Chris Rock, Kelly Ripa, Bon Jovi, Whoopi Goldberg, Danny DeVito, Tony Bennett, SCA among the celebrities, but not Joe Piscopo. The money raised will go to the New Jersey Pandemic Relief Fund. Stuck in traffic? W.D. Hames got the answer.
And good morning, Al. Alternate side parking rules suspended. Meter parking rules remain in effect. Let's go out to the New Jersey Turnpike. The New Jersey Turnpike southbound by exit 9 on that ramp. You have some ongoing road work, so we're going to definitely want you to steer clear of that. Let's see what's happening on 80 westbound, getting out toward exit 42 in Parsippany. It looks like they just cleaned up a car fire there over at the Holland Tunnel. Holland Tunnel getting into town right now. Some police department activity. Broad Street is blocked in Newark between South and Raymond. And also Market Street is blocked between Washington and Mulberry. Businesses are closed today until 3 because of the coronavirus epidemic. Over at the Queens Midtown Tunnel, watch out for some ongoing construction heading right through that stretch as well. And the eastbound BQE getting up and out toward McGinnis Boulevard. Watch for a collision there as well. Partly cloudy today, high in the 50s. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Associated Press. Original, unbiased, fact-based. That's what you get from Ground Game, the latest podcast from the Associated Press. Hosted by AP's Washington Bureau Chief Julie Pace, Ground Game discusses election strategy with newsmakers all through the primary season. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Bobby Richards with today's 1 Minute Money Report. The New York Times recently reported on an unusual way Americans are making money. They found over 10,000 people who broke the golden rule of investing and became millionaires. The stories included people from all walks of life, including writers, professional bowlers, and blues guitarists, even a set of grandparents.
We broke the golden rule of investing and turned $16,000 into $2 million.
And here's one person who agrees with what they're doing, Warren Buffett. He says blindly following Wall Street's golden rule is just protection against ignorance. And Alexander Green, perhaps the top stock picker in America, told his 140,000 followers that if they break this rule, they can retire on just one investment. His video immediately went viral. You can view it for yourself at onestockretirement.com and decide if you should break the golden rule too. Again, that's onestockretirement.com. If your retirement isn't what you want it to be, go see what 10,000 people have already used to become millionaires.
Brought to you by the Oxford Club.
Wow, how the world has changed in just a few short weeks. If there is one thing COVID-19 has taught us, is good hygiene. Wash your hands more often and wipe down frequently touched surfaces. Unfortunately, we also face another problem that has been around us since, well, time itself. Rodents. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free. Rodents usually carry diseases with them we do not want around us. Treating the problem the old-fashioned way with baits and traps only causes the problem to continue. Baits invite rodents in when you really should be trying to keep them out. So how do we keep them out? With Plug-In Pest Free, an electromagnetic device that utilizes the electrical wiring in your home to set up a no-go zone. Now that's fair dinkum. Look us up at gopestfree.com today. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget.
Take AM 970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com. Dan Proft, coming up tonight at 9 on AM 970 The Answer.
Hey, it's Piscopo on the radio. Good morning. Look at this, April 20th already. God bless you for being with us. I appreciate it so much. We got this. We got this. I swear to goodness gracious. At 9:42, Joshua Phillips is the editor of the Epoch Times. He's got a video out, man, that is so riveting. You have to see this, and we'll tell you how you get there. It is so well done. And Joshua, we want to welcome you back to the show, man. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, real pleasure being here. Thank you.
No, thanks, man. Now, since the last time we spoke, you released this video documentary all about China and their role in this virus. First of all, thank you. I've been railing about this from day one. We're blaming everybody else. Everybody in the press room, everybody's at each other's throat. But tell us exactly what we know about China and this pandemic, Joshua.
So this documentary really set out to kind of sort through all the noise because, you know, look, every one of us, we probably heard every rumor under the sun by this point. And it's very hard for people to kind of sort through it all and figure out what the heck is really going on. And so with this documentary at Epoch Times, we really set out to look into what can we prove, you know, where did this thing come from, what can we debunk? And then we look into all the major claims. We look into, well, did it come from the Hunan seafood market, which we mostly debunk? Did it come from this laboratory, which at this point seems to be the most plausible case? Then there's the question of, well, Was it natural or man-made? Was it tied to a bioweapons program, or was this just virus, you know, vaccine research? Did it get out intentionally or unintentionally? We don't come to hard conclusions on this, but we do show various information, you know, looking into each area to see whether it's plausible or not.
And did the evidence suggests whether this is man-made or not? I know you have Gordon Chang, who we absolutely love, and Gordon's been our go-to guy in regard to this whole pandemic. It looks to me, and I always said, and I talked to some doctors who agree with me, Joshua, like the genetic structure, the molecular structure of the virus appears to be man-made. But I don't. Then I sound like I'm conspiratorial, God forbid. You know what I'm saying? So, this is not. And Gordon said it probably it leaked out. It was a mistake. What are your feelings in this regard, Joshua Phillip?
When it comes to natural or man-made, personally, I do believe it was a natural virus. They notably did have viruses there that could fit this description. One of the top researchers at that laboratory, this doctor, she was one of the top bat coronavirus researchers in the world. Yeah. And notably, one of the things she wrote about was the discovery of a bat coronavirus that could very much fit this description, that they believed might have been the origin of the SARS virus, and that, you know, they would have had there. At the same time, they were creating synthetic viruses, notably chimeric viruses, where they were combining different viruses. And so, you know, I don't want to totally write off the, you know, artificial narrative either. It is possible. Personally, myself and many of us at Epoch Times believe it is natural at this point, but being open-minded. In terms of intentional or unintentional, I personally, and a lot of us here, believe it's unintentional, mainly because this is absolutely wrecking the Chinese economy and the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay. Yeah.
To really, really intense degrees, yeah.
And you know what? And this really gets me too. Joshua Phillip, you got to check out this the documentary. If you go to Epoch Times, EPOCH, Epoch Times, Joshua Phillips.
Go to the Epoch Times if you are.
The Epoch Times. Thanks, man. This is like, it's just fascinating. I've been talking about it because everybody's blaming everybody else. And the Chinese have been so egregious in this. It's and is it true that after the virus started spreading, Joshua, in China, that they suspended travel within China but still allowed people to fly out of Wuhan?
That is what's currently being looked into. And it's being looked into well. Was the Chinese Communist Party intentionally allowing the virus to spread abroad, or was this an oversight? And of course, was the WHO aware of the, you know, seriousness of this at the time when they were criticizing Trump, the Trump administration, for putting a travel ban on China?
Yeah,
so the Chinese Communist Party was concerned enough about the virus that they locked down Wuhan and did not let people from Wuhan, the epicenter of the virus, travel to other parts of China. But they thought it was, you know, okay to let these people travel to other countries.
Lord. You know, I can't help but think that, you know, this guy Xi, I mean, looks like a great, benign kind of guy. I don't know what the ulterior motive is, but and you and I both know they want to take over the world. With respect, by the way, to the Communist Party, because, I mean, that's what they want to do. But it looks like, if they let this out, I wonder if we'll ever see reparations on our part. Maybe $3 trillion worth of reparations that we're going to be spending on this recovery package, Joshua.
Well, there are already many countries looking to sue China, looking to investigate where this thing actually came from in China. The U.S. and the U.K. right now are looking into the possible lab origin. Germany actually just sent China a bill. I don't remember the exact number, but I believe it was over $100 billion in damages. There were also some different think tanks estimated that China could be sued for at least $6.2 trillion around that, I believe. And there are already class action lawsuits being put together.
Hey, Joshua, how did you, me and Frankie Fiburrows, our producer, were thinking, man, you got more information, and you're a young guy, and you're right. You have reporters in China. Didn't you tell me that last time we chatted?
So long story short, Epoch Times was started by Chinese Americans with the purpose of, you know, being able to report honestly what happened in China. And so, you know, from the get-go, we've been exposing human rights abuses. We actually were the first, us and our sister media entity, were the first to expose the SARS cover-up. We were the first to expose, organ harvesting of political prisoners in China. We are blacklisted in China, proudly so. I've joked it's kind of like winning the Chinese Communist Party's Pulitzer. You know, you're probably doing your job right.
Really?
Early on, we actually did have some reporters in China. Every one of them was arrested. Our editor spent 10 years in prison and was tortured. Currently, we do have sources on the ground. We do make phone calls into China, and we get a lot of leaked documents from China.
And then, isn't it amazing to you that the UN is actually putting the Chinese on this Human Rights Council? I mean, that's pretty bizarre, no?
Absolutely bizarre. Notably, too, because the United Nations has previously had some pretty serious issues with China when it came to human rights. The Epoch Times, we actually had an investigative story noting a case at the United Nations where they were going to hear cases from Chinese dissidents, you know, people who were persecuted in China or risking persecution. The United Nations provided China with a list of their names, and every one of them was prevented from traveling to go speak at that conference. One of them, notably one of the ones who was arrested, actually died in custody. And then how did the United Nations react? They punished the woman who was the whistleblower, who told the rest of the world what happened. And so there's some serious issues going on with them right now, you know, the United Nations.
And tell me again, the Epoch Times started in China. It started in China, but it you guys are based in America. Go ahead.
It started by Chinese Americans. The context of this was, long story short, 1999. Of course, everyone says, "Oh, is Epoch Times tied to Falun Gong and such?" This is the story behind that. In 1999, the Chinese Communist Party launched a persecution against a Chinese religious group. It's called Falun Gong or Falun Dafa. Falun Gong is it's a Chinese Qigong practice, kind of like Chinese yoga.
Sure.
You see Chinese people doing these slow movements in the parks, like Tai Chi. Long story short, 70 million to 100 million people persecuted by the Chinese Communist Party for trying to be good people. And because they had no reason to persecute it, they spread disinformation, false information. Western media just repeated that. And so Chinese Americans saw this happening and said, we need to create a media that can tell people what's really happening in China. And, of course, after that, they saw a need for honest media in all languages, and we've grown very quickly since then.
This is amazing. You know, Joshua, you got to come in. I know we got a break, but maybe I think our listeners have a lot of questions for you. One day, if you would, with your permission, because I know how busy you are, you join us and we can maybe talk about this whole China thing, because you're going right to the core of the matter, right to the core of this international pandemic. You're embracing this better than a lot of people are. So maybe you'll come back and we could get some listeners to ask you the questions that they have, because we appreciate your investigative journalism in this regard. Where can we find that great video that you did, Joshua?
Go to the epochtimes.com, theepochtimes.com. Also on my YouTube channel, Crossroads with Joshua Phillip.
All right, Joshua, thank you, my brother. Thanks. God bless, Godspeed, and let's talk again indeed, Joshua.
Hey, it'd be my pleasure. Thanks again.
Thank you. Joshua Phillip, editor of the Epoch Times there. You got to check that out. The video is really riveting. And you know what? I'm so sick of everybody getting the blame. China started this thing, and I don't mean to be mean, and it's not even the people of China. It's the Communist Party. They are to blame. Oh, the fight. We got the, I tell you, we are the answer. You know, Deb, we got it. We got it down. We know what we're doing. Hey, 9:52, Debbie's out there on the roads looking out for you traffic-wise on AM 970, The Answer. Thanks, Deb.
Hey, good morning to you, Joan. Good morning to all of our essential workers out here on the roads. 80 westbound out by exit 35, getting out toward Rockaway. Construction taking two lanes. Now, also the inbound side of the Holland Tunnel, two lanes blocked with police department activity. That construction project, the overnight project, starting tonight at the Holland Tunnel. The Holland will be closed 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. 6 days a week for Superstorm Sandy-related repairs. And over on the LIE westbound, getting out toward Maurice Ave, more road work there. I'm Debbie Duhaime. AM 970, The Answer.
Dennis Prager sees two completely different sides of COVID-19.
In my life, I have never been as proud to be a conservative as I am now. We're the ones rebelling. The herd is the left. They are both cattle and cattle ranchers. That's why they're so dangerous, the left.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a Citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Sebastian Gorka. Every week, the Salem Radio Network is proud to produce the SRN Coronavirus Special Report, featuring all Salem talk show hosts as we give you the latest in this ongoing and breaking story. It's brought to you by Balance of Nature. The best defense against virus is your own immune system. Join me, along with fellow Salem hosts Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, and Larry Elder for this ongoing special report, Wednesday at 7 p.m. here on AM 970, The Answer.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. Let me tell you about the Atlantis Yacht. If you're looking to wow your corporate guests, clients, or employees, plan an unforgettable event aboard the Atlantis. Beautiful skyline views, a gourmet food and bar menu, first-class entertainment. What's not to love? Your guests are going to be so impressed. I'm telling you from personal experience. It's a top-notch experience. The Atlantis is the yacht we take out every single year for our big client cruise event. Go ahead and start planning your standout event today. Whether it's a corporate event, wedding, engagement party, retirement party, an anniversary celebration, impress your guests with a first-class experience aboard the Atlantis. Why wait? Call New York Cruises to schedule a private viewing of the Atlantis. 212-633-1231. 212-633-1231. Mention AM970 The Answer for a free menu upgrade. 212-633-1231 or visit newyorkcruises.com.
Here's your AM970 weather answer forecast.
For the rest of the day, clouds increase with wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. An afternoon high 63. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight with wind gusts of 25 miles per hour in the evening, diminishing after midnight, low 48 in Midtown. Thick cloud cover in the morning tomorrow, then clouds and sun in the afternoon. Monday's high, 58. Tomorrow night becoming partly cloudy with a low of 44 in the city. Sun and clouds with a shower or heavy thunderstorm Tuesday, high 62. AM 970, The Answer.
Mike Gallagher is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Good morning. It's Joe Piscopo on radio. Let me grab a call. Donald calling in from New York, New York. Welcome to the show, Donald. What's on your mind this morning?
Hello, Joe. You know, I noticed that I didn't hear on the radio or television all weekend that on April 18th in 1775, Paul Revere made his famous midnight ride. And the next day, on April 19th, the battles of Lexington and Concord were fought, and the war for American independence began 245 years ago yesterday.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead,
Donald. And it's also curious that these protests to return to work and to defy draconian governors started on April 18th.
Oh, look at it. Could be. Thank you, Donald. Thanks for calling. And I see the phone calls, and I apologize if you can call back tomorrow. We will be on 6 a.m. tomorrow. And I know your voice has to be heard. I'm telling you. People listen to the show, man. They do. And when you call me, they listen to what you say. So I apologize for not getting to you, and we'll try to do it tomorrow. Frankie, great
show. Shame on you, Frank, for not knowing those things about Paul Revere. I mean, you know Chester A. Arthur, but my goodness.
I did know that. Also, yesterday is the 25th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing.
That's right.
A number of other anniversaries today as well. But you know, there's a lot of news happening now.
Yeah, I know.
So, Frankie, and you did a great job today filling the show up with some beautiful, 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 wonderful people. So thanks a lot. It's a vital, vital show that we're doing, I think, because we get to the bottom of it. And we cut through all the BS. Al, thank you. Debbie, thank you. And you know what? Will you do me a big favor, please, and make it the best day ever? Because you deserve it.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
51 degrees at 9:59. I'm Al Gattula with local news first. Here's what's going on. The Bayonne, New Jersey fire chief says a painting contractor is dead after he fell 35 feet in a confined space on a naval ship. Chief Keith Weaver says the 25-year-old worker was in the forward bow of the U.S. naval ship Red Cloud yesterday, which is dry docked for repair. The accident is under investigation. Stocks are opening sharply lower on Wall Street. Investors reacting to a plunge in U.S. crude prices and the latest news on the coronavirus outbreak. Dow Jones was down more than 450 points in early trading. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 were off more than 1%. Three men who had quarantined at a city hotel passed away over the weekend. The three who were 42, 64, and 70 had been in hotel rooms at the Hilton Garden Inn South in Times Square. It's not clear yet if the men had the coronavirus. City officials have been placing recovering COVID-19 patients, the homeless, and healthcare workers into empty hotel rooms. Governor Murphy says marinas will be open during the coronavirus pandemic, but there are restrictions. The governor says chartered watercraft services or rentals will not be allowed, and he says restaurant activities at marinas will be limited to takeout or delivery and will be strictly enforced. You now know what's going on. Wash your hands, stay inside, and remember, if you are out, social distancing. We will get through this. Have a great day, everyone. I'm Al Gattulo, AM 970, The Answer.